Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior Jesus the Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. A few years ago, Karen Phelps, a distance runner, wrote these challenging words. On this particular day, I didn't feel like running at all. But I made myself. Because running is a sport you have to practice every day. I wanted to win races, so I set a plan for training. Number one, run daily, even if you don't feel like it. Two, run daily, even if you sometimes have to skip fun and pleasure. Three, run daily, even in bad weather, even if people think you're weird. Four, run daily, even when it gives you aches and pains and you feel like quitting. Five, run daily, even if you don't feel it's doing you any good. One day, she continues, as I jogged along on my training run, it came to me that daily practice training was what my spiritual life needed. You know what I learned? Sometimes you may not feel like praying or reading the Bible or going out of your way to help others. But if you're training, physical or spiritual, you will do it. Karen Phelps was right. A strong spiritual life takes effort. Too many Christians today take their life in the Lord, in their faith, very casually. And there's a danger connected with that. Well, today we find ourselves in the 13th chapter of Luke, and here Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. But as he made his way through the various towns and villages, he was stopped and greeted by many, many people. He was becoming quite a celebrity. Sometimes thousands of people came out. Most of these people, however, were just curious. They were not true seekers of the kingdom of God. But along the way, one of them asked a particular question. Lord, are only a few going to be saved? Was this a serious question? We really don't know. Yes, it could have been assumed that he or she was safely saved, and this question was posed in somewhat of a smug manner, maybe a self-righteous one. I often hear people compare themselves to other believers and to other non-believers, to people of different faiths. It's a question people ask a whole lot. Or maybe it was a person who asked because he or she was worried about being left out. I think it was probably asked in earnest. Luke usually tells us if people were trying to trip up Jesus. Lord, will those who are saved be few? We don't know, but maybe the real question they're asking is, Lord, will I be saved? Is the door to heaven wide enough for me to be let in? Well, as usual, Jesus doesn't answer a direct question with a direct answer. And he turns the question back on the questioner and he says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. So what does he mean by that? To enter by the narrow door? I'm thinking about that announcement I read in a church bulletin. Weight Watchers meet next Tuesday night at the church. Please use the wide double doors at the back. What does Jesus mean by that narrow door? Does he mean that the number of people who are actually going to get into heaven is a limited number? According to some polls are kind of interesting. One poll taken some time ago said that 72% of the people who were polled rated their chances of getting to heaven as either good to excellent. Interesting, those same people, that 72% said that only 60% of their friends were going to get into heaven. Statistics are wonderful. Another interesting fact or finding in that poll is that 80% of them said that believe in heaven, but only 67% believed in hell. How do you figure? Jesus tells us to enter by the narrow door. And so what Jesus does is to point us to go deeper. And what he tries to do, and I believe he is attempting to do, is attempting to get us to go deeper into the heart of God. We know that anything in this world, that really requires work. If you want a strong body, you got to work for it. That's what Karen Phelps told us. If you want to have a strong marriage, well, you got to work at it. You want to have a strong company? You work at that. Why should it be any different with our spiritual life? You see, sometimes we get so obsessed by the notion that we are saved by grace through faith that we forget that this business of walking with the Lord day to day is a walk in the park. And there are a host of teachings and commandments that God gives to us. And you know, there's sacrifice when it comes to following the Lord. St. Paul compared the Christian life to an athlete training for a race. What did he mean by that? Don't misunderstand. The Bible is clear that we are not saved by our works. We are saved solely by the grace of Jesus Christ. But our faith is to be used. Our faith is to be exercised. And it's not meant to be apart from good works. Someone has compared the balance of faith and works to two wings on a bird. For the bird to fly smoothly, both wings are required. First, we are adopted into faith by God's grace, and then we submit ourselves to serving Him through His body, the church. We serve Him by caring for the down and out. We serve Him by showing love to our neighbors. We serve Him by using our influence in the community. As we look at the Bible, we cannot say we belong to Christ if we are not obedient to His teachings. Jesus says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and not be able to. The Greek word for make every effort is agonisma. You may recognize that word because that's where we get the word agonize. An athlete will agonize in order to push themselves to the next level. It is used by athletes as they train themselves to win the prize. I think what you and I need to counter and to correct is the idea that the Christian life is an easy thing, that it requires only a minimal amount of output. That we can turn it over to our pastor or the other leaders in the church and then focus on the secular things in my life. It's an absurd idea not to have to be able to think of God on a day-to-day basis. I guess you could call that the wide approach to being a disciple of Jesus. You see, Satan loves the wide door because when we start asking how far my life can be apart from God and still belong, you know, we are asking the wrong question. Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "We so often hear and say that religion makes men happy and harmonious and peaceful and content. Maybe that's true of religion, but it's not true of God and his dealing with men. It's utterly wrong." I believe this is the discovery Christ wants us to make, that the narrow door is not the easy way. We know too well that being a disciple is often difficult and frustrating. Trying to share Christ and be received by others is not always an easy thing. We are tempted to turn away from his invitation and maybe make up our own religion. One that's easy and asks little of us. One that doesn't challenge our mind or prune our lifestyle. William Willimon is a teacher. I learned under him. He told of a Methodist bishop of Angola who came to Evanston, Illinois. He came to speak to a group of young Christians. And he was asked, "What was it like to be the church in a Marxist country? Is the new Marxist government supportive of the church?" "No," the bishop responded, "but we don't ask the government to be supportive." "Have there been tensions?" they asked. "Yes," said the bishop. "Not long ago, the government decreed that we should disband all women's organizations in the church." "What did you do?" they asked. "Oh, the women kept meeting," he commented. "The government is not yet strong enough to do much about it." "But what will you do when the government becomes stronger?" they asked. "Well," he said, "we shall keep meeting. The government does what it needs to do. The church needs to do what it needs to do. If we go to jail for being the church, we should go to jail. Jail is a wonderful place for Christian evangelism." Then the bishop said this, "Our church has made the most dramatic gains during the revolution when so many of us were in jail. In jail, you've got everyone's attention there in one place. You have time to preach and teach. Sure, 20 of our Methodist pastors were killed during the revolution, but we came out of the jail with a much larger and stronger church." After seeing the drift of their questions, the bishop said, "I really don't worry about the church in Angola. God is doing pretty well there. Frankly, I would find it much more difficult to be a church in Evanston, Illinois. Here there's so much, so many things. It must be hard to be the church here." It's hard to be the church in Evanston. It's hard to be the church in Levittown. It's not because we're being persecuted. Maybe it's because we have it so easy that there's no sense of urgency, that we don't have to really think too much about that narrow door. But we can thank God that Jesus followed the will of his Heavenly Father, and Jesus did, in fact, go through the narrow door. And for Jesus, the narrow door meant enduring all kinds of shame and rejection and suffering. The narrow door meant going all the way to the cross and taking on the penalty of your sins and mine, the whole world. We can thank God because Jesus did for us what we could never do. Our God has opened the gates of heaven. How far? Wide. So wide that anyone who believes on the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can be saved. I want you to know that. You need to know that. The door of heaven is wide enough for you. Because Jesus has made the way. Jesus has opened it up. All who believe in Christ as their Lord and Savior can take comfort in that. So strive to enter through the narrow door because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Know the joy of giving your life to the King of salvation and pointing your friends to that way, the truth, and the eternal life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus today and always. Amen.